Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green, Christine Killemeyer coming to you from Albuquerque. We are not the only ones left over in Albuquerque tonight. The team had a little technical difficulty with their flight. They're flying out Sunday morning just like us, but heck, it doesn't really matter where they are tonight because they have a great win to celebrate. 74-62 over the number 15, well, soon to be not number 15 anymore, I'm assuming.
Nowhere to be seen in the top 25 New Mexico Lobos.
Exactly. 74-62 at the pit. And Christine, we just got to jump right into it. I mean, you know, you live by the three and you die by the three sometimes, and that's been the case a lot this year for UNLV. And today, I mean, they did more than live by it. Kendall Wallace hitting seven of them, six of them in the second half, and the best way he could describe it afterwards, you get that feel sometimes.
Seriously, there's no way to better say it, that he was just, I mean, all of them were all from, if you're facing the hoop, from the left side of the floor, all of his threes, but in the, I think one in the first half, too. One in the first half, too. They were all from the same spot on the floor, and so he clearly was just, found his sweet spot in this game and managed to make him drop every single time.
He was either on that wing on the left side or he was in the corner. And, you know, he truly helped UNLV create some space. And, let's start talking about the first half. Very similar to the first half we saw in Provo on Wednesday, in the sense that UNLV did what it wanted in terms of controlling the tempo, slowing it down, making it a half-court game, which is what they wanted to do against the Cougars. What they wanted to do today, they allowed zero fast break points in the first half on Wednesday, and they did the same today. And you just got that feeling at halftime that they were in pretty good control.
I mean, Kruger was talking about, too, how especially the sheer fact that they were able to come out and build such a great lead right off the bat in the game, because New Mexico did make that run there. I mean, what was it, 5 minutes that UNLV went without a bucket, and had they not built such a great lead up until that point, clearly they wouldn't
have been playing from a hole.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, to be able to go, I think that, honestly, the start to this game was the most impressive part of this team. To be able to go on the road and play at the pit and be able to come out as hot as they did, I think is what won the game for them. They won the game in the opening minutes.
And they get, you're right, because they gave New Mexico no breathing room. And New Mexico, look, New Mexico came out a little flat. Let's tell it like it is. On the defensive end, their intensity was lacking. And credit UNLV, because Trayvon Willis even said it. He was like, you know what? It was the perfect opportunity to take the fight to them. And UNLV sensed it, jumped right on.
Yeah, Trey was just talking about how confident and aggressive they were. And you could definitely see that. And they managed to maintain that confidence throughout the entire game. There wasn't any kind of breakdown, any sort of mental breakdowns that you ever really saw happen in the game with against New Mexico tonight. So I think... if they can keep that confidence with them. Because they started out well against BYU, but something still kind of seemed off throughout that whole game and obviously fell apart down the stretch. And they were able to completely avoid having any of that happen again today.
And they showed some great growth from that loss at BYU. Because you remember, you know, Kendall Wallace said, you know, look, at BYU, that team, you know, UNLV played not to lose. And today they played to win. And never was it more apparent than, you know, they had New Mexico pulls within six after UNLV couldn't break the press, calls a timeout, and UNLV comes out of it, and instead of sitting on the ball for the final minute and a half, Kendall Wallace pulled up for a three, found a spot.
So the blood, they never lost that taste for the blood in the water.
Exactly.
They had New Mexico
beat,
but they didn't let up. And in the BYU game, that is kind of what happened. They kind of got a little too comfortable with their lead.
Milk the clock.
Right, and that's how it slipped away.
You got to give them a lot of credit for doing that today. A true sign of growth. And, you know, let's look back on this week as a whole before, you know, they play the two toughest road games they'll have in the entire conference season in the first week. And, you know, hey, look, coming out of it with a split.
That'll put some hair on your chest as a man.
That'll
do it. That'll do it.
Exactly.
For those young bucks, that'll definitely. They grew up real fast in the Mountain West Conference.
They're never going to face a road atmosphere tougher than what they saw today the rest of the conference season. And I'm sure if you told them at the beginning of the week that you were going to split this, not the worst in the world.
No, what's frustrating, though, I think for most UNLV fans is the sheer fact that they had that game in Provo 1-2. And obviously the Rebels know it. They know it's just, I mean, you can't harp on it, obviously, but it still is kind of frustrating in hindsight.
If you want some silver lining, though, after that USC game, they take the 11-day layoff, and both opponents they faced, they have forced to play their style. And if UNLV can, and you know, look, the it's give and take. You know, the take is that UNLV had to start off its conference season in very tough fashion, but the give is that, hey,
come
the last 2 weeks of the season when they're maybe wanting to pad that NCAA tournament resume, you get Wyoming, Air Force, Colorado State, and TCU. So, you start tough, but it's not going to be like this all the way throughout. Looking at some of the numbers today, Trayvon Willis, got to give him some credit because, he took that BYU game probably more personal than anybody else because, I think he really felt like it was his fault that it slipped away. And he had 7 turnovers, or as he liked to say, almost half of their turnovers.
Right.
And today, 1 turnover on a travel call. He had 20 points, aggressive from start to finish.
He was really the pace setter for the team. Mm-hmm. I think he was the one that showed the most command of the game right off the bat, coming out and just taking control of the offense.
No question. And he had 20 to complement Wallace's 21 off the bench. Chase Stanback.
He kind of has hit another lull again. Mm-hmm. Really needed to step up again. He did a great job on the boards.
And it's funny because he had the 9 rebounds, mm-hmm. and talked about how much he loves rebounding and really woke up after Wednesday's loss and and practices and since then. But this is a guy who, you look back on this season when we've really seen him get confident on the offensive end and get in a groove. He is very dangerous, and you saw him get there in the second half because, while Wallace was hitting threes, he hit just as many big shots.
Right, and he had that 3 over right in front of the Rebel bench that, mm-hmm. Coach Kruger even admitted that was probably one of the shots that helped really seal the game.
Cap the 11-0 run.
Right, New Mexico was trying to get back into it, and that just, kind of a dagger for him.
Yeah, absolutely. 20 assists, 8 turnovers. Oscar Belfield, only the second time in his career at UNLV he's gone scoreless, but had 7 assists. Derek Jasper, 6 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds, and Kruger praised his aggressiveness. Even though it didn't result in more points, he was aggressive.
He had that great and one in the first half where he really took it. And he could have had another one, except he dished it off to Trayvon, and Trayvon got the and one instead. But he did a really good job of attacking the basket this game. I mean, he's never really going to be an amazing outside range
shooter.
He's
never going to score 20 a game.
Yeah,
either.
No. Yeah. But, I don't think I don't think you need that kind of, point guard when he plays point in your mm-hmm. offense for that, so.
And, looking at the other side, New Mexico was not itself, and UNLV was the reason for that. They were 4 of 18 from three-point range. Roman Martinez, who came in leading the league in three-pointers made per game, was 2 of 7. And they, with the exception of the first half of the second half, they silenced Darrington Hobson, who might be the most talented player in this league alongside Jimmer Fredette. And, let's talk about this guy a little bit. Obviously a guy who's going to make money playing for a long time, but, he comes out, scores 10 of New Mexico's for 16 points in the second half, and they take their first lead at 46-45. He gets winded, asked to come out of the game. He was out for about 3 minutes, and in that time span, all hell broke loose for the Lobos. This is a team that I think might be...
I don't know, though, if him being pulled was solely the reason why UNLV was able to go on there. And obviously, it had a factor because he was really the only one doing any scoring for New Mexico. He had that great... Jasper's a great defender. He had that great pull-up jumper right in Jasper's face in the second half. And that's just a great offensive play. Like, you can't play any better defense on that. He just was right there and just shot it right in his face.
And you said it perfect. It's not like he was making a ton of noise on the defensive end, mm-hmm. but he was really waking that entire crowd up. He was scoring, he was yelling, he was getting the crowd into it. And then when he came out of the game, nobody really picked up that torch.
No.
And took it and carried it along.
I was kind of disappointed in the Lobo faithful at the game. I was expecting a more raucous environment.
Yeah, and you got to credit UNLV for that, too.
Dude, Kendall, how awesome was it? Every time any single time, I was noticing every time the crowd would start to get a little bit of life, they would be silenced, like dead silence, by Kendall Wallace draining a 3. Like, you just listen to it in the video, because it was phenomenal. Like, just hearing the shot, mm-hmm. crowd noise, shot made, dead. Mm-hmm. It was instantaneous, the killing of the noise.
I think that might be the biggest thing that they took out of this first week, because, with the exception of the final 5 minutes at BYU, mm-hmm. they did the same thing there every time the crowd would get into it.
Yeah, there was a couple times that BYU fans really started to get loud.
And they came right back and scored and shut them up.
This Rebel team does a really good job of answering mm-hmm. whenever a team really starts to get on a run and really get a crowd into a ball game.
Absolutely, and it's only going to help them as they go on the road in some of the, lesser environments in this league in the next few weeks, such as a BYU or a TCU. And you know, look, all right, so let's wrap up this podcast talking about the bigger picture here. We're 1 week into conference play. The top dogs in the conference of, you know, the quote-unquote Big Four. UNLV's 1-1. BYU is 1-0. They beat UTEP tonight in a non-conference game, a very good win on the road. New Mexico 0-2, but they're going to improve. San Diego State 1-1. They beat New Mexico and then blew a 17-point lead and lost at Wyoming. Do you think there's a clear-cut favorite right now? I mean, it seems kind of hard to tell.
I don't know if there's really a clear-cut favorite. Yeah, no, I think, I mean, this is kind of what happens with the Mountain West every year, is I feel like the top teams in this conference always manage to beat each other up, which inevitably ends up hurting them come NCAA tournament time, because everyone looks at their, you know, conference record and is like, well, no one's like,
and the league
really
doesn't
impressed.
Get a lot of respect.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I wish those, you know, people that don't know anything about the Mountain West Conference would actually watch these games and see that there are some really talented teams in this conference, and just because they end up beating each other up, and it's, you know, just there's certain days that, you know, like, I mean, look, San Diego State had UNLV's number all last year, and I mean, you don't know what's going to happen this year kind of thing. It's like any team can beat any other team on any given day from those top, from those top tier teams.
And, you know, I know it's way down the road, but if that selection committee was to look at the top of, say, the Pac-10 and compare it to the top of the Mountain West, I think
dude,
it'd
the
be
Pac-10's bad this year.
It'd be it's really bad.
It is bad.
Nobody
it's
wants
atrocious.
you see a team get a quality win, you're like, all right, maybe they'll build. No.
No.
It all
falls
apart. Then you go lose to Stanford. And then it's just, but yeah.
And see, that's the one thing I will say about the Mountain West teams, the top tier Mountain West teams this year, is they have some great non-conference resume wins. Not just UNLV.
They have to do it.
BYU does, New Mexico does. I mean, I think this year Mountain West will maybe finally get the respect it deserves come NCAA tournament time.
They don't get at least three teams in, I think. Barring some collapses, there's going
to
be at least three teams.
We need to call Dickie V and get him to start yelling for us that the Mountain West Conference needs some more respect.
And you know what? Barring any collapses, I think you're going to see at least three teams that are more than deserving. I would think
it's a crapshoot right now, though, as far as who pulls out like as the best team in the conference with the best record at the end of the regular season.
And you know, we're gonna see with how UNLV responds going home. But I would honestly say that UNLV and BYU probably showed the most out of anybody in this first week. You know, BYU with a nice home win to kick things off. And UNLV
a nice home win without their top scorer.
And Fredette didn't
more
even,
or less.
Yeah, and he didn't play tonight at UTEP either, so dealing with some issues right now.
Right.
And
them being able to survive without, you know, his scoring presence there, I think, is going to do a lot for the Cougars.
And UNLV breaking even in that first week, you know, hey, it's better for them than going 0-2.
Could have been worse.
Exactly. It could have been a lot worse. So any final thoughts from today's game before we get out of here?
I just hope that they keep this momentum rolling and don't have a letdown at home. Mm-hmm. Got it, like Kruger said, got to go home and protect the home court.
San Diego State, Wednesday night, 7 p.m.
This is it. Got to get retribution for all that the Aztecs have done to UNLV in the past year. Like,
Billy White probably won't be playing. They dealt with a crushing loss today. And, you know, hey, look, a team that UNLV has bothered teams that don't have solid point guard play. And guess what? San Diego State doesn't really have consistent point guard play. So
they have some big, strong athletes, though.
Yes. So
this will be a physical game.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Yes.
7 p.m. Wednesday night, Thomas and Max Center. You can follow it live and get full post-camp coverage, as always.
Go to the game. Go make noise. Be loud.
Do that.
Then
go log on to LasVegasSun.com/Rebels afterwards to relive it.
Right. That's what we're here for.
I like that plan. That's a better call. Well, for Christine Killemeyer, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you Wednesday night following the UNLV San Diego State game. Have a great rest of your weekend. Take care.